It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often, it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
We're a little all over the place in this one. Surprise, surprise. Take a listen as Davey takes us down this rabbit hole goose chase.
I want us to get back to the book, Draw the Circle, and just some of the things that you and I have been learning and growing, and hopefully this will inspire and encourage other people who are learning and growing. One of the things from the book is he quotes D.L. Moody, and I love this quote. I'll read it when we talk about it. It says, "The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man," and I guess we could say the woman, "who is fully and wholly consecrated to him." You remember reading that? What do you think about that quote?
Well, I mean, fully is what sticks out. Like, fully, mm-hmm. Which means I'm in. I'm walking it. I'm talking it. I'm doing it every day. Like, I'm fully invested. Mm-hmm. I think we have a tendency to jump in and jump out, be fully some days, be not fully some days. So I think that's the most important part of that. But, like, what are you doing to make sure that we're fully invested? What are mm-hmm. you doing to make sure I like to, you know, days before that, I like to, when there's talking about the seeds and watermelon seeds and the different seeds that take time, like when you're planting those or when you plant a seed, it takes mm-hmm. time. When you water it, and sometimes it takes forever. Sometimes it seems like it takes years and years and 15 years for something to come to fruition. But are we fully invested through those 15 years? Are we fully going to believe? Are we fully going to continue to worship and continue to show? Mm-hmm. Here's something I'll say too. Like, you know, what else this book has taught me is, like, I have a tendency to be really hard on myself. And, like, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And a lot of times I don't allow God's grace for myself. And I get down and I'll get out in a little bit, and it'll cause me some frustration when I'm like, dude, that's not what you would say to Pastor Jay. That's not what you'd say to your friends. You'd be like, all right, just start now. Start a routine. You know, like, I think we got to realize we don't have to beat ourselves up as much either for what we don't do, because we still have a God that did it for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's an important reminder. Like, you're not always going to be perfect, but if we're invested and we're, how can we develop habits that we don't forfeit? How can we develop habits that we're going to consistently do? Like to me, I'm going to go to bed, whatever time I go to bed, which a lot of time is really late. Like, I'm a night owl, but I'm going to make sure whatever time I'm getting up in the morning, I'm getting 7 hours, and then I'm going to get in my hot tub. Like, I'm going to get my time with God. You know, like, those are things that we've got to be intentional about. To be fully invested, fully there, we got to be intentional about those things.
So I preached on this a few weeks ago, just the understanding the schemes of Satan, that we have an enemy. But you had mentioned there kind of beating yourself up, but Satan uses guilt, and he'll use guilt to make us feel bad and handicap us. But I think understanding that God's grace is sufficient for us, that we're all going to make mistakes, we're all not going to be perfect, we're going to, you know, we're not going to hit the gym every day. maybe you do.
But doesn't that happen, like, at the right times too? Like, for example, Rhett Walker is a Christian music singer. He's unbelievable. He's so, like, if you want to praise Jesus, listen to Rhett Walker. He's got such great songs. Like, we had, you know, women's conference for the girls. They had that night, that day. And then we had Rhett Walker come perform at our house. He performed some gospel songs.
This past weekend?
Yeah, and he's incredible. Like, he's incredible.
Really?
Yeah, it was incredible. He's a Georgia guy. I know him well. And he comes to our golf tournament. So he came and he performed. It was fantastic. But right afterwards, right after he came, like, we got all our friends praising Jesus in the house, and you look, and it's just awesome. Like, it's so cool, and it's so unique. Our small group, obviously, is always there. Like, it's just, that's what we do. And then other friends, and so good. Great weekend, Friday, great Saturday night, and then, boom, you get a text message, and it's just, there's drama about a certain situation. And you're like, well, I had a great weekend. And that's when you look in your prayer journal and you go, look at this, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, praise. And you got one thing that goes wrong. Like, all right, let's not let this ruin it. Like, let's not let this, mm-hmm, ruin the good that's going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a tendency to look at that and go, man, that's horrible. That stinks. Like, I can't believe it. It was going so good. But that's exactly what Satan's going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, the good is going to attack. Like, it's going to come. Those attacks are going to come. And I think if we understand that, right? Like, if we're ready, yeah, for it, but, and then don't live in it. Like, you know, don't live in that shame.
It's
don't
so easy for us to dwell on the negative. Like, you could have 100 good things going on and one negative happens, and then your whole mind and thoughts and prayers and conversations is all about the one negative instead of, like, you know, letting that go and let's focus.
And
on,
I'll go back to what I ask my kids and my small group kids all the time, like, the same thing. Who can ruin your day? I ask him that ad nauseum. And you ask one of my kids that, they'll be like, nobody. Like, they'll roll their eyes and say nobody. But, like, you don't give people the power to ruin your day. And you don't give those circumstances the power to ruin your day. Because, again, there will always be something in your day that gives you that power. There's always something in your day that's going to come up that's going to have a chance to ruin it. Yeah. Don't let it happen. Like, don't let that ruin it. Like, be cognizant of all the good. Like, yeah, this situation sucks. I hate this situation. I don't like it. But, man, look at all the good things that just happened. Yeah. Look at all the good things God's doing. Like, I need to get through. And the book talks about this a lot, right? Like, we got to pray through some things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some things we're going to be delivered from, right? Mm-hmm. Some things we are going to pray for and God will deliver us from. But there is a lot of things that you're going to pray through that you're going to have to endure, because there is a reason. And you need to learn something. You need to be taught something. And this is the only way God can do it. And he's going to use those circumstances in the end, but we got to pray through it and be faithful through it and be optimistic, be positive through it.
Yeah, I got the quote exactly what you're saying here. He says, sometimes the purpose of prayer is not to get us out of circumstances, but more times than not, the purpose of prayer is to get us through circumstances.
Yep.
So we always pray, hey, God, remove this situation from me. But maybe a better prayer is, God, what do you want me to learn from this situation? Says the primary purpose of prayer is not to change our circumstances. The primary purpose of prayer is to change us.
Yep.
We always want the circumstance to change instead of us changing.
And it's okay to want that, by the way.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, we're told to pray big, are we not?
Yeah.
So if we're told to pray big and we're told to try to change circumstances, but there are circumstances once we realize, like, in the book it talked about it, the kid that had the accident out of his window, that fell out of his window. And they prayed for restoration. They prayed for his body to be healed. It did not happen. Over and over, they prayed for it. It did not happen. Well, they started to accept the fact that the body wasn't healed and that the kid was going to be different than everybody else. And so now how are we going to use this for God's glory? Like, because ultimately that's what our stories are for, mm-hmm, right? Our story, his glory, mm-hmm, right? And that's what it's about. But I think we're gonna pray our way through those things. We're gonna accept some of those things. But there's also prayers that have been prayed for 20 years that become answered after 20 years, mm-hmm, that are amazing. And so I think if we stay faithful and we stay connected and we will continue to pursue, you'll watch. I think he's gonna answer a lot more of your prayers than he's not.
Yeah, one of my small groups, we were talking about the day 10 crazy faith.
I love that, by the way.
The woman who was driving well, Jesus tells the parable in Luke chapter 8 of the persistent widow who keeps coming to the judge, and she was like wearing him out. And just the whole idea of like wearing God out. And I feel like I'm wearing God out because I have certain prayers that, like, I'm just every day, I'm just like the same thing. I mean, of course, with Jolyn, we're praying for the godly wife. You know, we keep praying for that every
praying
day.
That he likes
every
girls.
Day. We know he likes girls.
He's in the room, so.
We're not worried about that.
Okay, yeah. There we go. We're just worried about the right girl.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, I was telling Jolyn the other day, I was listening to a message. This is pretty cool. Jennifer sent me this message, and the lady was talking about relationships. And she was talking about, she's using the idea of putting together puzzles and how your puzzle piece, I think you'll like this, like your puzzle piece. Well, one, you got to figure out who you are. You got to understand who you are and how you're wired and how God made you. But then there's only four people that can be connected to your puzzle piece. And so it's really important, and we talk a lot about this, of who the inner circle is, like who it is that's connected to you, but not only, like the people who are connected to you, they're also connected to people. So who they're connected to has a bearing on who you're connected to. So,
I like that.
So for instance, say your best friend, one of your buddies, well, he's one of your four. He's connected to you, but his wife is also connected to you because he's connected to her. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
So like, well, you gotta look not only him, but you're her too.
By the way, I can speak to this, and this might be a little out of school and people, but like, it's just like your buddies that you want to hang out with. If the wife's a little bit cray cray, like you don't want to hang out with them. Right. Like, it's funny. The older we get and the more like trips you want to do and people you want to hang out with, like it's a package deal.
Oh yeah.
You don't just get one without the other. Like,
yeah.
So you've got to really, you know, care for the wife and care for the husband at the same time. And, you know, I have people that I don't necessarily enjoy the wives as much and for certain reasons or whatever. And we don't find ourselves, you probably don't hang out with the males as much. Like it's gotta be a team effort with the wife and the kids.
Also talked about the toxic puzzle piece. That's kind of what he's alluding to.
Yeah. So it was basically saying, like, she's using an example, like you're putting a puzzle together. Sometimes you might put a piece in, you think it fits, but it's not actually the right piece. Mm-hmm. Once the picture becomes to fruition.
Once you start to see the picture,
once you start to see the whole picture,
like,
oh, I've got this in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And sometimes
I've done that.
You've got people connected to you that you realize, hey, they're in the wrong place. Like they're a toxic person. Now I'm real big on this. I do not like to be around drama. Like, save the drama for your mama. And if there's someone in my life that is connected to me that's toxic and it's always drama all the time.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to do anything I can to move that person off my puzzle piece.
Yeah, I think the question, and we're the same way. I mean, as you get older, you're like, dude, I don't
have time. I'm too old for this. I don't have time for this.
I think I agree. You know, I used to, I think when I was younger, it used to be like, oh, it's fun to be around them. And now it's like, all right, it can be I have fun with a lot of people. Like, you can have a lot of fun with a lot of different people, but are these people making me better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they holding me accountable? Do they bring out the best version of me? Mm-hmm. Like, if you have to, and I tell my kids at small group this, I told them this last night at church, if you change the way you are around people and to fit in and to be liked, they don't like you. They like the person you're acting like. So does that make you feel good?
Yeah.
Like, they don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
They like literally the person that you're trying to act like to change who you are. Like, so I think friends is a difficult topic. Like, you get in sports teams, and you get, and by the way, you also get in those things where you're like, these are my friends. I'm not changing. You know, like, I'm no new friends. You know, I'm not adding people. But again, you might literally cost yourself the best friend you've ever met.
Yeah.
Because you closed your circle off as opposed to keeping it open.
One of the things the lady was talking about in the message was,
you gotta send me this. I like this. I like the puzzle. I like analogies.
Well, she was talking about how some people feel like they don't have that close friend. Like, there's, like, they have, and she was talking to women, like pastors' wives, women in ministry, women who are leading things, and she's talking about friendships. And she made the statement that sometimes the piece doesn't fit, and you can't find the piece that fits because the piece is still in the box. And the piece sitting on the table yet.
I like that.
And I was actually, when she said that, I felt like God was speaking to me that Jolyn's wife, and I've been praying for her, that she's not even out of the box yet.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't even met her yet. Like, it's like, and God's going to bring her in his perfect timing. And I think that's the thing for all of us. Like, don't get locked in on your little puzzle piece, because there might be somebody in the box that you haven't even met yet. That's going to come into your life.
Perfect fit.
Perfect fit. Now, whether that's a spouse, whether that's a friend, whether that's a business partner, God's gonna. I think we sometimes get so locked in that we're not open to what God wants to do, and just the. I love the possibilities of what is that piece in the box that I haven't even met yet.
And that, I mean? And that goes with unanswered prayers.
Yeah.
You know, like what we're praying for and what we think we want at certain times, and then all of a sudden you see it as it comes to fruition later. Like it says, I like this in the book. It says, it's okay if the answer is no. And wrong thing, wrong reason, wrong time. The day will come when we will thank him after the fact for the unanswered prayers. Glorify God in any and every situation. You know, like, I mean, mm-hmm. I think that goes to what you're saying. Like, it's God's timing. It won't always be when you want it, how you want it, but you'll look back and you'll be thankful for it. And mm-hmm. I think we've all been through those times.
So along the same lines of the crazy faith, he said, there's a pattern repeated in Scripture. Crazy miracles are often the offspring of crazy faith. And if we want to see God do crazy miracles, sometimes we need to pray crazy prayers. And then this goes along with our idea of bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers.
Yep. And there's a story told with it, too. What was the story? He told a bunch of different stories about the rain and just crazy.
Well, that one story of the farmers who got together to pray for rain, and the one farmer showed up with his waders on.
By the way, we talked about that in small group, and just to give this will give you an idea of how stupid I am and how uncountry I am. I was like, I'm sure everybody knows this in here, but what the heck are waders? And that's the reaction I got, by the way. Yeah. Everybody immediately laughed and was like, yeah, I know I'm the least country person in here. What the heck is a waiter? And they're like, it's those things you go fishing in. Like, where? I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I've never put those on, nor will I ever put those on. But he came dressed. He came. They were having a prayer meeting
for rain.
To pray for rain. And homeboy showed up in his waiters. And he was the only one, by the way, who was ready when the insane amount of rain came, because he dressed for the miracle.
Yeah.
Like, he was ready for the crazy miracle to come to fruition. And, like, lived it out, walked it, and knew it was coming, believed it was coming, and then it came, and mm-hmm. he was prepared for it. Crazy.
Yeah, we read this book 10 or so years ago, and I remember one of the guys in our small group, he and his wife couldn't have kids. And so his way of putting on the waders was he went out and bought some diapers. Like, his wife wasn't pregnant, but he was believing in faith that she was going to become pregnant, and then he already had the diapers.
That's cool.
Or the onesie or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think, whatever it is you're praying for, trusting God for, what are some ways you can put on the waiters? You know what I mean? Like, what are some, okay, God's going to answer my prayer, so I better go ahead and be prepared. I better go ahead and buy whatever it is, or whatever, you know, get put together whatever you need. So
yep.
I love that. I love that.
Crazy. Crazy prayer.
Crazy faith. The whole idea, we mentioned this before, if you want to walk on water,
gotta get out of the boat.
You gotta take those steps of... Take those steps of faith. What about, I tell you, one of the other stories I love was the one about George Washington Carver. And
Peanuts.
The Peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking God, you know, teach me about the universe. And he's like, you can't handle it.
No, you're not ready for that.
He kind of, and then got all the way down to, okay, well, teach me about the peanut. And then he ends up discovering all of these uses for peanut, for the peanut.
Yeah. And he used to take the long walks, you know, mm-hmm. the long walks with God, which I think is important.
At 4 a.m., by the way.
Yeah, I ain't doing that, bro.
That's discipline.
That is very discipline. But yeah, I think discipline, long walks, discipline, asking questions. But to me, that means something bigger, too, though. Like, here's the thing. He asked about something, right? What was the answer? You're not ready for that. He asked about something, you're not ready for that. So if we're continuing to ask, and we go back to another podcast, mm-hmm. like if you want to find God's will, keep asking, mm-hmm. keep seeking, keep searching, right? Because that's exactly what he did. He kept seeking.
Mm-hmm.
He asked another question.
Kept asking, kept seeking,
yes.
I
didn't get an answer. Like, okay, well, what about this? Like finding your path in life, finding what's important to you, finding, like, it has to be active. And it has to be going towards God. If we're going towards God and we're chasing God and we're in his will and we're in the church and we're doing the things we're supposed to do, he'll continue to show those things to us and he'll crystallize those things. Mm-hmm. If we don't and we stop moving and I'm not getting what I want and it's not working, like, then it's nothing's ever going to come to fruition. So I think that's a cool part of that story is like, mm-hmm. he asked something else. Oh, he asked something. Oh, this is my will. Like, and by the way, I'm going through this. Like, okay, this is it. It was football. It was commentating. It's this now. Like, it's just, okay, well, continue to just have faith and continue to, God, continue to put me where you want me. Mm-hmm. And then you'll use it and you'll maximize it. But if you go, I don't feel like I should be here. I don't like this. This isn't me. I'd rather be doing that. Like, no, I got to do that. Now go do something else, right?
And just you think about, like, the whole idea with the peanut. Like we didn't understand that, and then he ended up making, I guess, makeup and suntan lotion.
I didn't know how much stuff was made out of peanuts,
all kind of stuff made of peanuts.
Peanuts is a big deal.
And I just wonder, like, what other thing out there, like God created everything for a reason, for a purpose. And there's probably so many other things like the peanut that we haven't even discovered yet. Like we don't even know what it is. And I love the possibility of what's this one God idea that could change people's lives forever. Like I think there's so many, like he's God the creator, he's creative. Like what is the idea? And trying to come up with something that is going to change someone's life for all eternity. And just, I mean, I love the idea that like the idea could be today. Like today could be the day that God does a miracle. And
haven't you already had them though?
We've had tons of them.
Greystone Church?
I mean, Greystone, that's what I think about. Like sports camp. Like sports camp was one of those, this is a God idea. And how that came about was instead of doing vacation Bible school, we had all these coaches in our church, like high school football coaches, baseball coaches, basketball coaches, all these dads who coached. And it's like, how can we get dads involved in vacation Bible school? Well, we got to do it at night because they work during the day. So then we do it at night. Well, let's do it around sports. And then, you know, started off, you know, just a few sports. But that, to me, that was like this God idea that it's like, man, and all the kids that have come to know Christ through
both of mine
sports camp. Really? Really?
Both of mine got saved at sports camp.
That was a God idea. So I'm always thinking, what's the next God idea?
And then Jennifer squashes it. And then Lindsay squashes it. No, I think that's pretty awesome. And it's fun to see them. Like, it's fun to see that. You hear, just to hear you talk about sports camp, because mm-hmm. I just assumed it was something you always did. Like, I don't know any different. And then both of my kids came to salvation through sports camp.
So I think you look around and see what you're passionate about, and then who's around you, and then you come up with, I mean, this idea that you had this Rhett Walker guy come over to your house and lead the family in worship and your friends. I mean, who does stuff like that?
Rhett Walker.
I mean, that's a cool that's a
if you,
cool
if you,
story.
If you haven't heard him though, he's amazing.
I haven't heard
but
him.
But his story, like sitting there and he's telling you about songs. And
his kid, giving you the story behind the song.
He's giving the story. And he talked about being a pastor's kid.
Okay.
And he talked about, like, one of his songs, and I should know right off the top of my head which one he was talking about, but I don't. But he was like, I wrote this song because I think it was the, I don't know which one it is. I'll stop. But he said, I'm 17 years old. I'm a pastor's kid. I just got this girl pregnant, and we're about to have a baby. And he said, it's the first time in my life that I had to lean on God, and I had to believe in the goodness of God, and I had to believe in the grace of God. And God had, like, I had to realize it. I had to see it. And then he sings a song about all of it. Like, it's just so cool. That was a God thing. Like, you hear him write songs with people, and how the man on the middle cross, have you heard that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
you sent me that one.
Dude. Yeah. Like, he listened to that pastor, the British pastor or Irish pastor, uh-huh. who talked about
the man on the middle cross told me.
Yeah, it's the story of Jesus, and you think about, like, the guy he had on his on one side was you know, if you're the king, get down. If you're the king and you're who they say they are, why can't you get us out of this mess? And the other guy was like, listen, bro, like, I want to be with you, like, I'm in your corner, right? Like, he was like, I. Whatever you got, like, I'm in. And he dies. The guy gets crucified, and he talks about this in the message. But he says he gets up to heaven, and the angels are there, and is like, "What are you doing here? I have no clue. Do you know the doctrine of theology? Doctrine of what? Like, do you know do you know about grace? Do you know about salvation? Do you know about sanctification? He's like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. He's like, well, why are you here? Because the guy on the middle cross said I could come.
That is, man, that is awesome.
I mean, dude, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear that. Like, it ain't about all that. Like, the guy on the middle cross did it for me and said I could come. And then he said he wrote that song in like 6 hours. Like, because, and how about this? Rhett saw on Instagram, TikTok. So it's not all bad social media, right? Saw on TikTok and heard that preacher preach that message. And then Matthew West, who wrote the song with him, who's a Christian artist, who was going to go, they were going to go record the next day. So the man on the middle cross, look this song up if you haven't heard it. It's an amazing song. It'll make you cry. Like, he said he listened to it that night, and he said to himself, this is what I'm telling Matthew tomorrow. We're going to write this song. Like, we're going to figure out a way to write the song. He shows up to Matthew's door the next day when they're going to meet for hours and hours and write the song. And he said, Matthew pulled up on his phone. He said, look, I got an idea. Same idea.
Oh, wow.
God
idea. That's a God thing. Yeah, that's a God idea.
It's a God idea, not a good idea. And he said they wrote the song. It's so cool to hear those things. Like, all those, because those ideas should give you a reason to pray bolder.
Mm-hmm.
Those ideas should give you a reason when you hear those nudges, man, like, okay, what is this from? Like, maybe I should be more bold. Even in the book, in the first, you know, the first week, we talked about, you know, the guy at his church and, you know, prayer. They had prayer at the same time, right? At the coffee, was it right at the coffee house? Well, he's in the airport. He's on a trip. He's leaving. And it's that time. It's that prayer time. And he's at gate D something, right? D2 or whatever it is. And they get on their knees and they pray at the coffee house and he's in the airport. And he's feeling this nudge inside to say, get down on my knees and pray. But he's like, I've had those in my life, by the way. I get those nudges and I'm like, now? Like, really? He said the right thing to do was to get down on my knees and pray. And I'm in the airport and I get down on my knees and pray. Like, with prayer, with our lives, I think sometimes we think we don't have the power to change our lives. And our story is written. Every chapter is written. But like the fullness of the way we live our life and the fullness of what we get to accomplish depends a lot on the trust that we're going to put in God and the prayers that we're going to pray to God. Our salvation is confirmed. Our salvation is good. But the way our life ends up, it's not the same. It's not just going to be the same if we sit there and, oh, we're cool. I don't have to do anything. I'm cool. Like, he will continue to give us more and expand. Like, I never thought I'd have reached like I have. Like, I never thought I'd be able to say the things that I get to say in churches and call people out or do things. Like, he'll do immeasurably more. And if you could just pray bold, right? Pray crazy. Be crazy.
Yeah, one of the things he said in that chapter was, a high view of God is the solution to 1,000 temporal problems. But and how high is your
view of God? What about before
that, though?
He said a low view. Do you have the part before that? I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
It was
Our biggest problem is our small view of God and not viewing him as omnipotent and all-powerful.
Well, no, read it all together, but pause after you read the first part. So
you want me to read the biggest problem first?
No, the smallest one came first in the book.
Okay. So a high view of God is the solution to 1,000 temporary problems. Our biggest problem is our small view of God.
No.
How big is your God? He is bigger than your worst sin, your greatest fear, and your biggest dream.
And if everybody realizes that, like, listen, my brother's going through stuff, and I'm dealing with stuff with my brother, and he's had stuff that's been very, very difficult in his life and circumstances that are very difficult. But if you look at that and you said, like, I'm going to use this for God, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I did, what I've done. It doesn't matter what I've said. It doesn't matter who I've hurt. Like, I still have a God that looks at that little bitty thing and says, I can do a major thing. And I can take that right there, all of your mess, all of your stress, all of your worries, and I can do something far greater than you've ever imagined with it.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. There are so many good nuggets and one-liners here. I'm just going to name a few. God doesn't want to get you out of your tough circumstance. He wants to get you through it. The circumstance is to change you. Crazy miracles come from crazy faith. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. Dress for the miracle. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. One God idea is better than 1,000 good ideas. The guy on the middle cross said I could come. Our biggest problem is our little view of God. Which of these is your favorite? What idea speaks to you? Let us know on Instagram and Twitter. Comment below on YouTube if you're on YouTube. If you found this episode helpful or encouraging or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter at Family Goals Pod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.